Excuse me, man. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. That is the best way to get in touch with the program. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Very, very kind to come on this show. We certainly always appreciate it. State Senator Jim McClendon of Springville. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Oh, man, Jeff, I'm doing great. I hope you're doing just as well. I looked at the weather map. There's this big orange bubble coming your way down there. What is all that about?
It probably means you better make sure you got your cell batteries charged up or, hunker down, I believe, is the approach. How's the farm? How are things up your way before we get into the boring political stuff?
You know, the farm is doing good. The pastures are turning green and the horses are happy. You know, we got a couple of new ones and cute little fellows that have joined us. What we tried to do is get a couple of horses short enough we could get on. It's a little bit harder to get on those tall horses than it used to be. So, but we're fat and happy. We couldn't be any better.
Yeah, I saw the picture on Facebook of the horse you had, but good on you. There's a lot of other things of life to deal with sometimes that's fulfilling. Speaking of fulfilling stuff, let's kick it off here. I don't think we talked since the since the Supreme Court came in and said, look, you guys on the 11th Circuit, this panel, you can't do this close to an election. We're going to stick with the lines that the Alabama legislature has drawn. Any reaction to the, as looking back now at it, I guess it's been about a month or so, to that Supreme Court intervention?
Well, we just had another stay put in place by the three-judge panel. There's four suits, and the legislature, three of them challenging congressional districts, one of them challenging legislative districts. And since the Supreme Court has taken possession of the three congressional suits, the legislative suit was moving forward, and the three-judge panel said, look, we're going to wait till we hear something out of the Supremes. So there's not going to be any action till 2023 or something before this happens. Now, we may be doing some depositions and maybe doing some oral arguments in front of the court, but there's not going to be any action. So basically, all these suits have been put on hold until pending what the U.S. Supreme Court has to say. So that's good. You know, it's just like in the legislature. A delay is a victory. Now, it'll all come to fruition in the future, but right now, all the suits against the legislative plan are put on the back burner, and there's no real action going on. So I'm pleased with that. I mean, that's what you hope for. And one of these days, the Supreme Court will have an opportunity to weigh in on these cases, but I don't think it's going to be this year. I think it'll be next year sometime before we have any definitive rulings.
So essentially, we're good through this election cycle, and then who knows what happens after this. But for now, we shouldn't expect too many changes at all, if any.
Now, this election cycle is just like the legislature plan. The districts are as came out of the legislature for everybody. So everybody's ready to go. No surprises, no last-minute changes. So,
and I had talked about this at length before all this kind of took place and went down. But do you expect it to turn out this way that it has since you guys had that special session?
You know, the expectations are just kind of something to do, something around the campfire and talk about, because you're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court, and you don't know what they're going to do. Sometimes they do what you thought they might do, and sometimes they don't. So as far as what I would like to happen, it's worked out just fine. But there's no better way to get disappointed and surprised than to try to predict what they're going to say.
Yeah, I can imagine. And that's just kind of a fool's errand a lot of times. Senator, something you worked on back in 2021, working on this idea that we could do some kind of gambling, comprehensive gaming bill. It's back. It is back every year, it seems. Your colleague, Greg Albritton, has a comprehensive package, and downstairs in the lower chamber, Chip Brown's got a lottery-only bill. What do you think of either one of those two pieces of legislation? Do you have any thoughts on them?
Yep, sure. I've been watching this, and I've been staying on the sideline with both of these ideas. And I think both of them are probably going to be subject to a slow death. Senator Albritton came forward with legislation very much like the legislation that got through the Senate last year and was sent to the House, where it promptly died. And he came forward with a bill. He really apparently was unable to get the support he needed. He talked about making some changes to that bill, and that was last week. I thought that some changes might be coming. It was not on the calendar for the Senate to consider. So it appears to me at this point, Senator Albritton's bill is stalled, and that's because he has probably talked to the members of the Senate to see what kind of support he has, and it must not be there. And the House is talking about a paper lottery. The paper lotteries are something from the past. That was back in the 50s when we thought paper, and that's what they're coming considering down there. That bill hasn't gone before the House, though, has it? It's come out of committee, right?
Right. It's just made it out of committee. So where it goes from there is anybody's guess.
Well, it looks to me like this 2022 regular legislative session is not going to come forward with something for the people of Alabama to vote on. I think it's over with. I think for whatever reason, maybe election season has something to do with it. I don't know. I would be shocked if a paper lottery bill passes the House. I would be even more shocked if it survives the scrutiny of the Senate.
Do you think we just got a few legislative days? Do you anticipate anything significant or important making it through with these last remaining days of the legislative session?
You know, we've worked pretty intensely doing, I know this sounds strange, doing three-day work weeks where we actually have sessions on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In fact, we've worked so hard that we've taken this week off, which, if I were in a position, I wouldn't take a spring break week. I'd keep on plugging, but anyway, I'm not in that position. But we have worked pretty intensely on a number of pretty interesting bills. A good many of them giving tax relief, which is what Republicans should be doing. I don't know of anything overwhelming that's going to come before us this session. I think we've got 7 remaining legislative days, and the last one is always can be spread out a little bit, a week's gap or a 10-day gap in there between the 29th and 30th day. And that's in case the governor vetoes a bill that the legislature is intense about and wants to save enough time to have an override. But I don't even know that there are any bills that fit in that category. So I think the rest of this session could well be a milk toast sort of session where we're finishing up, doing our job. And these folks are wanting to get out on the campaign trail and kiss babies or whatever they do. And get that job done. They're ready to get out. They're not the only ones. I'm ready to go with them.
Well, the one thing that, there's been some speculation, could we see, some of these education bills, I guess the big one everyone's talking about is this Numeracy Act. Is that about as big as it's going to get, you think?
Yeah, that and the bill that Senator Marsh has dealing with the funds, county funds.
Right. The charter schools.
Charter school bill. Last year he had that bill, and it was municipal funds and county funds, and that bill stalled out in a hurry. For some reason, the counties and the cities don't like the legislature telling them how to spend their money, and they squashed that bill early on, and they'll probably try to do the same thing with this bill. But it kind of makes sense if your students that reside in your county happen to go to a charter school, and you're collecting taxes to pay for education. It seems like it ought to go there. But I think that's going to be interesting. The Numeracy Act has been called everything by the opponents but a red-headed stepchild. It's gone after that. And the whole purpose of that bill is to try to do something about the academic achievements of our children in math. We're working hard on literacy and reading and those skills. And that's what this Numeracy Act is all about, is to have some really intense training, coaching, and education to bring up our arithmetic scores. And it gets, every time you try to tell the State Board of Education and educators how to do their job, they're just like the cities and municipalities. They oppose this, and that's what's going on here. Now, I don't think there's anything in the Numeracy Act that has anything to do with CRT. I don't know where that came from.
Well, the Common Core, isn't that the objection? And we give Becky Gerritsen on, and there's others that say the Numeracy Act, $92 million, going to pay for coaches, are going to try to get those NAEP scores up so that we're not 52nd out of 50 somehow. And they turn around and say, no, you guys are just trying to sneak one over on us and put Common Core and put these standards in place. That's what's really going on here. This is a backdoor to Common Core. And we have this weird back and forth. Senator Orr, Terry Collins versus Eagle Forum, Becky Gerritsen, and others. It's Common Core. No, it's not. It's Common Core. No, it's not.
Yeah, I really think, you need to read the bill. I think they're seeing boogerman where they don't even exist. And it's like this. Senator Orr and Terry Collins, they're just trying their best to improve education for our students in Alabama and get them out of the cellar. We're one of the worst in the nation on education, and everybody and his brother tries to fight the changes. Well, anyway you cut it, we need some changes because we're doing terrible. And, and it's a numeric thing, by the way. I mean, this is not an opinion that we're not doing well. Our kids in a lot of schools, not all schools, but in a lot of schools are just not coming up to the levels that we need for put them in the job force, make a living, take care of themselves, pay taxes instead of living off the taxpayer.
Well, you've been at this Alabama legislature game for a little bit. Getting education, that's been the tough nut to crack. If you look at everything, the Republican control going back to 2011, since assuming that control, a lot of good things have been done. The one thing that has eluded Republicans is just doing something positive or getting Alabama's stature up higher in education, at least as far as results are concerned.
Yeah, I looked the numbers up. And, of course, from the other side of the aisle, the answer to all these questions is throw more money out there. Give raises, spend more money, give more benefits. And in fact, I came in the legislature, it's close to 20 years ago. And since that time, the Education Trust Fund budget has increased by almost 100%. We're over $8 billion now. When I got here, it was closer to, it was 4 point something. $7 billion. So we've dumped the money in there. We've had a great economy, and that's where that economy, that tax dollars go. Sales tax money goes into that ETF. And we're funding them like crazy. The money's going out there. All this stories that we are underpaying our teachers. If you look, we did a study. We had, I think it was 8 southern states. We were third from the top when you consider salaries and benefits. We were third from the top, not the bottom, on our compensation for this. So I think that clearly shows we got to change policy. It's not just throwing more money out there. That does not work. We've proven that. There is no question that dumping the dollars out there without having oversight, without having accountability, and without changing your basic policies and teaching styles and methods, that just doesn't work. We know that. We've been doing this 20 years, and nothing has gotten better.
Senator, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you are always very kind to come on. Okay. And always welcome on the program.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always a pleasure. Have a good one, and y'all get your batteries charged down there, because I believe it's coming.
It looks like it. See, Senator Jim McClendon here on the program. Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Carry on, carry on, sweet Southern comfort, carry on.